This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Today's show was pre-recorded, so we won't be able to take your questions and comments. By the time Franklin Roosevelt became president, his wife Eleanor had already put her disappointment in their marriage behind her and developed a life of her own. She soon met a campaign reporter for the Associated Press, Lorena Hickok. Over the next 30 years, the two women were, at different points, lovers, confidants, professional advisors, and caring friends. In her latest book, Eleanor and Hick, The Love Affair That Shaped the First Lady, author Susan Quinn provides a revealing look at how an unlikely romance influenced some of the most consequential years in American history. Susan, thank you for joining me today.
It's my pleasure.
You say by the time Franklin Roosevelt had been elected president in 1932, Eleanor Roosevelt was in love with Lorena Hickok, who was a top reporter for the Associated Press. What do you mean by in love, and how do you know that was the case?
Well, it started out as a professional relationship. I mean, Lorena Hickok was assigned to Eleanor to cover Eleanor and followed her everywhere during the campaign of 1932, when Eleanor, of course, was a famously big traveler, so she was all over the place on the train, and Eleanor traveled with her. And over that period of time, Lorena Hickok began to sense that Eleanor was very unhappy and actually dreading being First Lady. And out of that grew a sympathy between them, and Eleanor learned a lot about Lorena and her very tough childhood. She had been kicked out of her house at 13 and worked as a maid and struggled. And Lorena heard a lot about Eleanor's childhood. And the more they shared, the more they grew to like each other and then really love each other. And the reason I believe it was a love affair is because during this period and over the next 5 or 6 years, they exchanged hundreds and hundreds of letters, writing to each other every day and sometimes twice a day. And the letters, both sides of the correspondence, are at the FDR Library in New York, and they're full of expressions of longing for each other, wanting to hold each other, kissing a photograph of one of the other when they're away from each other. So there's a lot of evidence that for at least 4 or 5 years, it was a love affair.
Tell us a little bit more about Eleanor as a person and Lorena as a person. Were the two of them similar personalities, or were they different types of people?
They were very, very different types. Lorena had clawed her way up in the AP. She graduated finally from high school, but after working as a maid and moving around to one house after another, and didn't succeed in college, but then began to succeed as a reporter. And she was a very outspoken, sort of emotional person, given to outbursts of indignation. She smoked a lot. She could swear and drink with the boys. And, coming from this kind of rough background, very smart. And then the opposite is Eleanor, who, of course, was greatly privileged. She was a Roosevelt even before she married Franklin and grew up in a mansion on Hudson River. But at the same time, although a very different background and very different style, I mean, she was a very reserved, ladylike person, but she also had a very sad, lonely childhood. She was raised by a Victorian grandmother. She lost both her parents by the time she was 10, and she was raised by this grandmother in a house with lots of servants and a governess that she hated, and a mother who never really given her much in the way of love or approval. She, in fact, told her that she was just too homely to make it in the social set of the Roosevelts. So both of them had these sad childhoods in very different ways. And they were attracted to each other despite their differences.
How much awareness was there at the White House of this relationship? I mean, did President Roosevelt know? Did he realize it? Did anybody on the staff realize that this relationship was going on?
Oh, everybody knew. But the thing was that, first of all, starting in really in 1918, Franklin and Eleanor had kind of agreed to live together as partners, but the love went out of their relationship because of when Eleanor discovered that Franklin was having an affair with her social secretary. She discovered these love letters, and that was a very, very painful blow to her and really changed the relationship. She really never got over that. So the two of them agreed to stay married because of Franklin's career. And in those days, you know, a divorce would have meant the end of his career. So they agreed to stay married. But it was a partnership. It wasn't really a love relationship after that. And they had led separate lives. They took separate vacations. Even in the White House, people talked about his side of the White House and her side of the White House. They had different friends. He had a whole circle of people around him, admiring people, including his secretary, who may or may not have been his lover also. He had this world, and she had her world. And her world, Eleanor's world, was Hick was part of it, but she had many women friends who were in, many of them in partnerships with other women. The two women that she built this cottage together with, these two women who were a couple, the cottage called Valkill in Hyde Park, and she and these this couple did that together. There were other political women in Democratic politics who were partners with other women. So it wasn't, in that circle, it wasn't so surprising or unusual for this to happen, and Franklin certainly knew about it. He liked Hick, and he liked Eleanor having her life, because it meant he could have his life.
Sue, what kind of challenges did writing this book present for you?
Well, I think the biggest challenge for me was that I was kind of intimidated by Eleanor Roosevelt and by her, who she was and her reputation and the way everybody talked to me about Eleanor Roosevelt, which was that everybody told me how wonderful she was, and they knew somebody who'd met her, or they'd met her, or they had a story about her, and all the stories made her into this, you know, really paragon of virtue, this really admirable woman, which she certainly was. But my first draft of the book, I was calling Lorena Hickok Hick, because that's what everybody called her. So she was Hick, and then Eleanor Roosevelt was ER, like FDR. So there was something, as my wonderful agent and editor pointed out, there was something cold about that. Why was I calling her ER? And why was I putting everything in quotes? In the beginning, I was taking the letters, big chunks of letters, and putting them and just quoting them verbatim. And so all of that was kind of distancing. And I think in the beginning, that was the problem, which was that I was kind of in awe of Eleanor Roosevelt, and I couldn't write about her as just a person in a love relationship with another person. But as time went on, I reworked it, and I began to use the name Eleanor instead of ER, and I started to tell a story without having to put it into big quotes all the time, and it made it a much better book. But that was a process, and a part of it was sort of giving up my idealization of Eleanor Roosevelt and allowing her to just be a person, which she was, of course.
I'm talking with Susan Quinn. She is the author of Eleanor and Hick, The Love Affair That Shaped the First Lady. Sue, was Lorena Hickok in a position to have any influence on the president's New Deal policy because of her relationship with the First Lady?
Yes, very much. What happened was that eventually, because of the relationship and because she knew so many secrets about the Roosevelts, she had to give up her job at the AP. She was just under too much pressure there to tell stories, and she wasn't going to tell because she became more and more loyal to Eleanor. So she left the Associated Press, and she got a job working for the Roosevelt administration, going around the country and writing about conditions on the ground, conditions of poverty everywhere, and what people were struggling with in farms and in the coal mining communities in the South. And she wrote these very, very vivid reports, which came back to Eleanor and to her boss at the New Deal, which was FDR's number two person, Harry Hopkins, at WPA. And those reports made it to Roosevelt's desk a lot. And also Eleanor, who, you know, was the ultimate test in terms of making sure that Franklin got the message about people who were struggling, poor people, black people. You know, she was a great champion of the underdog. And so Eleanor made sure that Franklin heard about these things when she thought they were important. And so in that way, both they were sort of a team, really. Hick and Eleanor became a team in terms of finding problems and inequities and difficulties all around the country that people were struggling with, and making sure that Franklin knew about them and trying to get action on them. So they did. They did have an influence.
Was Hick ever able to resume her career as a journalist once Eleanor left the White House?
No, unfortunately, she had this idea that she was going to, but she also had a lot of health problems by that time. She was diabetic and she smoked too much. And so she had those problems and was really not able to go back to a job as a full-time reporter. So she went off. She lived separately in her own little cottage on Long Island for a bunch of years, and she tried to make it as a freelance writer, which I can tell you is very hard to do. And she just couldn't. She couldn't make it. And meanwhile, Eleanor, of course, became more and more important and influential. She worked on the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights and really was one of the principal authors of that, and it was a really important contribution. She was traveling all over to Europe and then later to all over the world, really, and she met Khrushchev, she met Nehru in India, you know, she became this world figure. And meanwhile, Hick was off in her cottage, really barely able to put food on the table, and they remained in touch always, and they wrote all the love affair probably lasted maybe 4 or 5 years, but their friendship lasted until Eleanor died. So they were writing back and forth, and when finally Eleanor heard that Hick wasn't able to pay her rent and was getting kicked out of her house, she sent her chauffeur to go get Hick and bring her up to Hyde Park where Eleanor lived. And then eventually she got her own little place in Hyde Park and managed to kind of make a small comeback by writing books for young adults. And one in particular that was a big success was one biography for young adults about Helen Keller. And that actually made enough money to support her in the final days of her life. And that was really important to her because she, of course, it was painful for her to not be able to support herself. But meanwhile, Eleanor became this amazing world figure.
Did Eleanor ever blame herself or feel guilty about what was happening to Hick?
She did. She was prone to feel guilty about things anyway, and she did blame herself, I think unfairly, but it was true. She gave up being a reporter, and that was, she said, the only job she'd ever been really good at. In that, and she gave it up because of her love for Eleanor, but she always said that she would not have changed anything. And certainly her love for Eleanor and that love affair with Eleanor was the high point of her life. She would like to have gone off and lived forever with Eleanor, but that wasn't going to happen. Eleanor had many other friends and admirers and actually, I think, liked it that way. She wasn't about to go off and, you know, live in a little cottage for two somewhere. It just wasn't who she was. But anyway, I think Eleanor did blame herself. I think Hick did not blame Eleanor and never, ever said anything bad about her.
Yeah, Eleanor Roosevelt was the first really influential first lady, wasn't she, in terms of setting the tones for future first ladies taking up initiatives?
She really broke the mold, as they say. She just did it differently. You know, she didn't want to, as I mentioned, she really did not want to be a first lady. I mean, there have been these articles recently about Melania not wanting to be a first lady, and Eleanor didn't want to, but for very different reasons. She had her own life. She, after 1918, she decided that she was going to make a life for herself, and she did. She was teaching in New York. She was involved in politics. She was speaking, writing, and she and her friends, this couple, Nan and Marion, had this little cottage industry at Valkill where they were hiring people to make replica furniture. And all of that was a full life, and she liked it. And she associated Washington with the affair, actually, with Lucy Mercer. That's where it happened. And also she knew that as a first lady, she was going to have to do all the ceremonial stuff of standing around shaking hands and smiling. And she really didn't want to do that. She called it being Mrs. R, and she really hated it. So with Hick's help, Hick really was an important part of that. She figured out a way to do it differently. She had, first of all, Hicks suggested it. That was an important part of it. She had these all-women press conferences, and that meant that news organizations had to hire women to cover the first lady. And then she also started writing her own column, which was called My Day. And she wrote that really starting a couple years after FDR became president, and she continued 6 days a week until the end of her life, writing this column every day. And it was kind of a It's actually, you can read every one of them online now. But they're a sort of recitation of what she did, you know, who she met with, who she talked with, and so on. They're not particularly exciting or thoughtful. They're just sort of a diary. And they started out that as a diary to Hick. In the early days, she did it to Hick. She wrote letters, and then she'd say, "And now my diary," and she would go through her day. And that became the My Day column. And that was syndicated all over the country. So here was a first lady who had her own voice in newspapers everywhere. And in fact, I don't think no one has done that since in quite the way she did.
And all this from somebody who really didn't want to be the first lady. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, she had amazing energy. You know, she just was a dynamo. And so she just forged this different style of being a first lady. I think everyone since has been influenced by Eleanor Roosevelt's style as first lady, I'm sure.
What would Hick be remembered for if not for her relationship with Eleanor?
Well, that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, because I think she deserves more credit than she's gotten. You know, her reports that she wrote about the Depression, about people, about ordinary people and what they were struggling with are very, very wonderful, very vivid. Some of them have been collected and published, and actually there's some more that haven't been that I've actually thought about publishing. So I think that she should be remembered for that. Some say that those reports were the best record of the Great Depression as it affected ordinary people. So those are important. She's sort of been seen as somebody who was in love with Eleanor, but in my book, I emphasize more that Eleanor was also in love with her for a time, and that Hick influenced Eleanor in important ways. So that's why I think that she deserves more credit than she's gotten so far.
What do you think, had Eleanor not been married or had not been married to a president, might these two have forged a life together?
You know, I don't know, because I don't think Eleanor was capable of having a one-to-one, intimate, intense relationship forever with one person, even if she hadn't been married and had kind of been available. You know, in a different time, maybe things would have worked out differently between them. Certainly, Eleanor had a lot of women friends who had these lifetime relationships. But she liked men also. You know, she had several flirtations with men along the way. So I think she was pretty much bisexual, but I don't think she was very sexual, period, you know, in any of these relationships. And she tended to get involved in relationships with men who were involved with somebody else. It was a pattern throughout her life that she would be a third wheel in relationships she had. She was very enamored of a younger man named Joe Lash, a young radical, and they were very close. But he was in the process of courting and marrying someone else. And then later in life, she met a man who she described as the love of her life, a doctor named David Gurevich. He was a Russian-born Swiss Jewish doctor, very charming and worldly and sophisticated. And he was very fond of her. He adored her, but he was in the process of finding a wife his own age. He married a woman, and then at the very end, he, Eleanor, and this woman bought an apartment together in New York, and she lived on one floor, and he and his wife lived on the other floor. And this is the person she described as the love of her life, and she never changed that. So, you know, she had these big, I don't know, crushes or affection for these men who were kind of only partly available. So, I don't know. She was somebody who grew and changed and developed in so many ways over her lifetime. But I think she, except for Hick, I think she never managed to have an intense relationship, love relationship, that wasn't complicated by being, you know, a threesome. It was true in her marriage, too, to Franklin, because he had this mother who kind of ran their lives all through her early marriage. So she was often in that position anyway.
So is there more to this story yet to be told, Sue?
Well, yes, probably. not by me, but by somebody else. I think the Eleanor and Hicks story, I mean, you know, after I finished, I actually gave a talk in Hyde Park. There were some people there who had known Lorena Hickok at the end of her life after Eleanor died. She lived another 5.5 years, and she was kind of a town character. You know, she's kind of went around in T-shirts and bloomers, and kind of she was seen as a local eccentric. But there were people at this talk who had known her and who had been her dog walkers and stuff and had heard her story. She had a lot of stories about her life as a reporter and so on. So there is some of that out there, and I think I might like to collect and publish some of her other writings that haven't been published, at Lorena Hickok, that is. So I think that's still out there, and there's other ways to tell stories. That's one of the reasons that we writers keep on writing.
Sue, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Thank you, Mark.
Author Susan Quinn on her latest book, Eleanor and Hick, The Love Affair That Shaped the First Lady. Coming up, we'll hear about the wasp that brainwashed the caterpillar and other wonders of evolution. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WBXU.